Welcome to The Learning Link, CDRCP's professional learning podcast, where educators, parents, and community leaders explore innovative practices, inspiring stories, and the latest insights in child development and early learning. Our goal is to connect you with the knowledge and tools you need to make a lasting impact on the lives of children and families. Before we begin, we invite Peel Early Years professionals to join us for CDRCP's two-day Lifelong Learning Symposium. Day one is taking place in person on October 17th, 2025, where leaders and aspiring leaders will elevate their influence and ignite meaningful change in the lives of their teams, children, and families. This all-day event is a space to connect, reflect, and grow alongside a community of bold thinkers and change makers. Registration for Lifelong Learning Symposium Day 1 is out now on CDRCP's Professional Learning Calendar. You can find the link for our calendar in the podcast episode description. Remember, spots are limited and reserve your seat today. We are also excited to announce, in partnership with the Peel Region, Lifelong Learning Symposium Day 2 will be a full system shutdown for licensed childcare programs in Peel Region. Day 2 will take place virtually on October 24th, 2025. Spend meaningful time with your team, strengthening relationships, deepening collaboration, and enhance your professional practice. Take advantage of this day of appreciation and recognition for early years professionals. Ignite, innovate, and inspire the leader in you. Registration for Lifelong Learning Symposium Day 2 will be coming soon.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode, Reflections in the Resource Center. My name is Emma, and I'll be your host this week as we discuss our wonderful Resource Center. We also invite our listeners to like and comment your reflections on the podcast platform you are listening in on. I'm excited to share that today I'm joined by Taylor, who is a part of our team here at CDRCP. Welcome back to the podcast, Taylor.
Thanks for having me on again. I know it's been so long. I think, actually, I'm on last week's episode, so not that far along.
Well, we're happy you were able to make it back.
Thank you.
To begin, I think we should share a little bit about the Resource Center for any of our listeners who have not heard of it before. Our Resource Center offers a wide range of resources such as bins with materials, books, board games, puzzles, and much more. Materials are available to be borrowed for up to 3 weeks at a time. Additionally, CDRCP has recently started new Resource Center hours, and we are now open on Tuesdays from 3 p.m. until 8 p.m., Wednesdays from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., Thursdays from 3 p.m. until 8 p.m., and the second and fourth Saturday of every month from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. To begin, Taylor, can you talk about how you believe the Resource Center can help support our community?
Yeah, I love our Resource Center. So back when I worked in professional learning, a part of the professional learning team last year, I like to call the RC my little baby. The Resource Center is my baby. Because every time I came in and I opened a new bin, it was like a new possibility of ideas. And to be quite frank, when I was still working in childcare, I wasn't using our Resource Center as much until later on in my years. And I kind of wish that I used them earlier, because it's always changing in our classrooms and we are always needing new ideas. And these bins create those ideas for us and help us make connections between children's learning and materials. And instead of having to purchase them, they're right there for us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that the Resource Center has a lot of supports for our community. Right now, I think our most typical visitors, I would say, are our families. Parents and family members who are recommended to use the Resource Center from our incredible early on team. Mm-hmm. And our InfoPeel team also started recommending it to parents. So I know a lot of families have been coming in to find materials. Because when you think about how often children's interests change, childcare, we rotate our materials quite mm-hmm. frequently. Not all families have the ability to do that at home. So having a resource center has been really beneficial because then they don't have to keep purchasing and purchasing and purchasing new materials to create that ability to add to their child's interest. They can just come here, use it like a regular library, check out materials for 3 weeks, play with them with their children, and then return them again. So then they also don't have that extra buildup at home as well.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Taylor. I would say children's interests do change fairly quickly. 1 month or 1 week, they might be interested in ladybugs, and next week, they're interested in plants. It is changing so quickly, and to have access to a resource center such as ours, where as these interests are changing, the materials can change with them, I think is really exciting and a really great opportunity for families and those in the community to come in and see the resource center.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I also think that our next ring of visitors after families right now, which only really just started over the summer, is we've gotten a lot of like post-secondary students from our local colleges coming and using the materials as well. And it's interesting because their perspective is a little different. Mm-hmm. As students, it gets really expensive depending on what programs they're going to field placement with. Some programs allow them to use materials from their own centers. Some don't allow them to use those materials. So students have to find and source those materials on their own. And that can get quite expensive. I remember what it was like when I was a student. It does get really expensive. So it's almost like it's spread like wildfire. If they told like one classmate and the other classmates told another. I know the local colleges also advertise us too. But it's really great to see because they're kind of doing a little bit different than our programs or our mm-hmm. educators who come in. It's typically the field placement students, they come in weekly instead of every 3 weeks, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, there has certainly been quite a few post-secondary students who have come into the Resource Center, and I do find they do come more often. I think that is also because they're having to plan a lot of activities while they're at placement because it only is a short few months for each placement. But just to bounce off what you said about how it can become quite expensive if you're purchasing materials for field placement, that brought me back to when I was doing field placement. Sometimes I would get an idea for an activity or an invitation and I really wanted to see it through, but I couldn't find it at the center where I was at. So I often did go out to try and buy something mm-hmm. or find materials that I could use for that activity. So if I had the opportunity to come to the Resource Center, I think it would have been really beneficial. And I probably would have a few less bins in my basement right now.
Well, exactly. And I know that there's a lot of other places that people can find materials for cheaper. Like there's a lot of, what do you call those?
The dollar store?
No, not the dollar store. They're like recycling places.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But I'm drawing a blank at the moment.
Me too, which is okay. But I know those are options as well, especially when you're really invested in loose parts and those pieces. But sometimes you want an experience that isn't always loose parts because students aren't always going to use loose parts. So being able to come here and take out instruments.
Yes.
And be able to play drums with the children. Or play, we have like a little keyboard that the children can play. All different kinds of blocks, but it's not just about having blocks. You wanna create new experiences for young children and spark their specific interests. And that's why a place like our resource center here at CDRCP is so essential mm-hmm. Because we can have multitudes of different types of blocks or different types of materials you can use in combination with blocks to help children with their constructive play, such as I think we have those like magnetic blocks where they look like any other regular block except they magnetize together.
We do have those.
Yeah, and it creates like they make that click noise too, so it's like very sensory motivating as well, and they're colorful. And then we have other materials that go in tangent with block, so it's not always just block play. Like, you just put out a really nice display, so anyone who's coming to the Resource Center soon should go and check it out. And that's, what was the bin called? It was the mirror one that you did.
Yes, the Mirror Science Center bin.
Right, right. This one is interesting because we have it set up right now the way that I think the bin was originally intended for, which has those little teddy bear counters in it.
Yes.
And you're using the teddy bear counters on different types of mirrored structures.
Yes.
In order to create reflections.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the one mirror that does like the symmetry piece and those pieces. And why I'm bringing it up with blocks, even though it's a science item, is because I've seen a lot of people use this in their block area, having children try to recreate their towers or recreate some of their Lego structures by mirroring it into the two-way glass one.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because some of our bins might have certain materials, but you don't have to use all the materials in the bin. Some objects are more open-ended. So for example, these mirrored shapes, you don't need to use the bears. You can use other objects and really get creative with how it is used.
Or vice versa, use the counters, the counter bears and our little cards that we have in there for a small group as well, especially since we don't have that many different types of mirrors to use. I think there's only about 3 or 4 that are in that bin.
Yeah.
If you put the mirrors out in one area of the classroom, that probably will only be able to be used by maybe 2-3 children at one time. But the counters and the cards can be used for small group for up to however many children you have for small group.
Yeah, definitely. Now that we have had the opportunity to discuss how our community can use and find support through the Resource Center, I think it is also important to note the networking opportunities that arise from the Resource Center. And before we start talking about this, I would like to say a little story, something that really stood out to me as I've been working at the Resource Center. So there's a few educators who all work at the same center, and anytime they visit, they come together, and it's really great getting to see how they interact. They'll ask a fellow educator for their opinion on a bin, or because they're working together too, they know the children who they're working with and who they're trying to plan for. And I think that relationship, just seeing how this outing has really fostered a close-knit connection between them as they're planning, has been a really beautiful thing to even be a part of. And I think that just shows that the Resource Center, yes, you can come and grab materials, but you can also deepen connections with coworkers or others in the community.
Right, definitely. I think I know what story you're talking about as well, but it also is we kind of create those opportunities together as well. Like, mm-hmm. We just had at the beginning of the summer that student and new graduate open house for everyone. It was meant specifically for new graduates as they were graduating college to open themselves up to finding resources before they start work, so then they can kind of bring this resource into their work practice already. But it was also an opportunity for students who aren't graduated yet to get familiar with us,
yeah,
in order to start using it for field placement and then continue that during their career. But what I thought was really interesting is actually during that time, that student open house, of course, we showed materials. We had little activities for them to do to get them to explore the different areas of the Resource Center and those pieces. But really all they wanted to do was sit at a table with a couple bins in front of them and talk together and talk about their experiences as students, their experiences for those of them that have already found a job or are currently working, and what they've been doing together with their colleagues and what they recommend for each other to use in their practice. And what was really interesting is they started talking about, oh, well, my program has this and this and this. And they go, oh, well, so does CDRCP. I wonder if I can add to this. And it was a really great opportunity to see how students could use our Resource Center just to feel like they had support and feel like they had people who could share ideas with and get to know one another. So even though the goal was to make them feel like they had resources that they could use and to get memberships through us to use our resource center, they actually left with new relationships with people that they met as well.
I agree, Taylor. I think that opportunity really allowed educators not only to see what bins we have, but to really create a community with others in the field. Another thing that comes to mind is the relationships we build with members who come to the Resource Center.
Definitely, yeah. I think that you all do such a great job at this as well. I can really see how passionate you and Bibi and Jessica are with the Resource Center, and Andrea, who is not currently here, but she's usually here. She's on maternity leave right now. And how you spend your time getting to know the resources and also getting to know the people who come in. So when they come in, they get the support they need. They find the things that they need. It actually reminds me how recently Jessica was covering the Resource Center as I was leaving. And I heard her say, "Oh, so-and-so, I'm so glad that you're back. How was the experience that you did with the materials that you used?" And then they had a whole conversation about it. And then she was talking about how that educator is working with toddlers and asking him, "What are you going to use your materials for?" Or "What are your toddlers currently interested in?" Or, "Oh, you know what, we've actually got this new material for toddlers." And it was a really great opportunity to see how not only are you here to give advice and give support, but also make them feel like they have another networking opportunity, another person who is there to bounce ideas off of or there to get to know them and create a connection.
Yeah, and I think I can speak for not only myself, but the other PL members. We always enjoy getting to know those who come to the Resource Center, and then we're always so interested to find out how the materials went and were they interested? What did you use them for? I always find that one of the most exciting parts.
It would be so interesting to see how people are using our materials. So maybe that's one mission eventually we'll get to for our audience members, is figuring out a way for you to share those experiences with us, because we really share the ideas because we always have great ideas, but it would really be cool to see the outcome of it. You want to know what this just reminded me of, though?
What?
Another networking opportunity that one of our licensed home child care visitors talked about. So we have a licensed home child care visitor who comes very frequently. And when she comes, she also takes out materials for her providers who cannot always get here. Because licensed home child care is very difficult, as not everyone has access to a vehicle. Usually after they're done work, they have to go and take care of their own children who come from, either they've had them all day or their children come home from school and now they still have a very busy plate. So they don't always have the opportunity to get here to choose materials. So she had worked really closely with her small group of providers and created a system where she could pick them up for them and drop off the materials at their homes or their businesses, right? And it has worked really well for her so far. But one thing that she has talked about is, and we should really support and we should really find a way of executing this for her, is she wants to bring in all of her educators on one of our Saturdays and have them explore the Resource Center together and use the space as not only finding the materials that they want in person versus just communicating through phone, but also getting to see each other more often. Because I find home child care providers need those opportunities too, because they tend to be isolated sometimes as they're in individualized homes and not in a center where you work with an entire team.
I think that is a wonderful idea, and I'd love to see that happen someday soon. Now let's shift gears for a moment to talk about our experiences in the Resource Center. I know there are quite a few things that stick out to me in the Resource Center, so here's my question for you, Taylor. Is there anything that stands out to you, whether that be a favorite material or section in the Resource Center?
I'm a jack of all trades, so I don't think there's any one area of the center that is split up. We do split up our Resource Center in different categories. We have cognitive, math, language and literacy, loose parts, fine motor, physical literacy, which is mostly gross motor experiences, outdoor experiences, games, puzzles, and music. Mm-hmm. And on top of all of that, we also have books as well. So we've got a lot of different categories of materials. And I've learned to love a lot of different places, but I think a lot of the things that I'm gravitated towards are the areas that of interest that I had growing up. So for an example, a lot of my descriptions are gonna be block area items because I spent a lot of time in the block area. The next one will be our social emotional section because I really enjoyed playing house in those pieces. And we actually have a gigantic house. It's like a giant dollhouse. Oh yeah. And it's made of wood and it's really sturdy in those pieces. And I can only imagine the type of little or small world experiences that people could create with those, mm-hmm. with the children. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I could choose. I know you have a lot of favorites. What are yours?
I would say currently, maybe it's because I put this on display, so maybe that's why it's my current favorite. It's our mirror stacking stones. I find the reflective nature of them to stand out and almost draw me to them. And I like how versatile they are in terms of how they can be stacked or sorted by size, how you can look at your reflection or reflect items off of them. So I'd say at the moment that is one of my current favorites, but much like you, I don't think I could pick just one. There's lots of aspects of the resource center that are my favorite, and it would definitely be hard to choose.
What I love about a lot of our resource bins specifically, so not necessarily the individualized materials, but the actual bins, they tend to be very curated with a bunch of different resources in. So sometimes there's books, there might be sometimes some type of costume or dramatic play item in there. Sometimes there's puppets or a puzzle, and there it's always a combination of items. And what I love about that is because when you get three bins, sometimes you get the three bins and you go, okay, now what? But if you really take out the items from all three bins, you'll start to see how they can combine. So you can take those bins and start seeing how, I'm just going to use your mirror ones as an example because I did see them on display. My brain was thinking, okay, mirrored ones, great, how can we add to this? And you did such a great job with your display. Again, for those of you who are coming in, go check out Emma's and Bibi's display that they just created. Maybe we should post a picture of them. That would be fun, too. I wish podcasts would let you see photos of things. So we'll just have to put links in our show notes, which is fine as well. But your mirrored pebble stones are currently sitting on a giant wooden mirror. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like they're reflecting from the ceiling, reflecting on the mirror below them, and it's creating this really cool experience. And my brain is going, I need to add to this. I need something to I want to play with it. This is what my brain is doing. So then I thought if I was to create this in my classroom, I would probably do something very similar. Add it in the middle of one of my tables, put a big mirror on the bottom, add the stacking stones on top, and then why not take some of our light table items? We have a lot of different shapes and small little pieces that are light table and add them in and see what children can create. They could create patterns, they could experiment with how the light table, so I'm gonna call them shapes, they're like little tiny shapes, how they reflect underneath. You can even technically put them underneath of the stack and then it would reflect not only on the bottom, but it would reflect through the entire stack. And I think that would look really cool. So it'd be a really cool experience for children to see too, right? And then my other one is, what if you added one of our light cubes? So we have some light cubes here at CDRCP that are, some of them are really big, and then some of them are like palm sized. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be really cool to like add a light element on top, so you're creating like a combination. Long story short, I know I'm doing a horrible job at creating an imagery for you, for our listeners, but the point of this that is just saying that you can combine bins together to create deeper and more meaningful provocations for children, and at the same time in different areas of the room. So you can use half of one bin and half of another bin in our sand and water. And then you can use half of one bin and half of the other in like your table toys, because it's puzzles or books, and add the books to the literacy area. And you can combine them all. And I think that is really fun.
I definitely think it sounds fun. And I think you did a wonderful job creating a picture for our listeners.
Thank you.
Well, I think that's all we have time for today. So thank you, Taylor, for joining us. It was great to speak with you about our Resource Center.
Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, be sure to check out the CDRCP website for in-person or online professional learning opportunities. Thank you for listening, and please connect with us at CDRCP on all social media platforms or on our website. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. We hope today's conversation sparked new perspectives and deepened your professional learning. To extend your learning, reflect on your thoughts using the Professional Learning Reflection Form, available on our website at cdrcp.com, or if you're raising the bar in Peel Member, you can find it directly in your user guide. Reflective practice is a powerful tool for growth, and we encourage you to take a few moments to think critically about what you've listened to today. If you found this episode helpful, share it with your colleagues. Creating a space for shared reflection supports stronger, more connected learning communities. We hope you will join us again on the next episode of the Learning Link Podcast.